and the verse 26. Thank you. It says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways." Let me read it again. "My son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that's here today. And Lord, we're thankful for the number of folks that's here today. Father, we pray that you would grant the unction of the Spirit of the living God in this meeting. We pray that the Holy Spirit would touch hearts today in this service. We pray that if anybody here doesn't know you as Savior, that perhaps this day, Lord, someone will come to a saving knowledge of you. Help us, Lord, to preach in such a fashion that's understandable. Grant the unction of the Spirit of the living God in this meeting. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. We're going to give this message a title, "The Heart." The heart is a gift for God. The heart is a gift for God. That's going to be our title. I want to tell you today that I'm very thankful that God has given me a change of heart. Aren't you? That's a glorious thing to be thankful for. The greatest thing God did for me, and He's done many great things for me, but God gave me a change of heart in the new birth. I was born again. And you know, when the Lord makes you born again, then you see your need of a Savior, and He opens your understanding, and He opens your eyes, and you trust Jesus. And your life will never be the same again after that. I mean, you view things different. You're looking forward to forever. You're looking for it. Death don't have no sting in it either, and you don't worry about things that a lot of people worry about. It's great and wonderful being saved. And I certainly hope if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, that perhaps today would be the day of salvation for him. So old Jeff Arthur's had a new birth. I've been born again, and I got a new hope that I'm looking forward to. We're going to talk a little bit about the heart today. We're going to talk a good bit about the heart. I think it's important that we serve the Lord, that we serve the Lord with our heart. That means really putting something into it. I think also that we, with regard to our worship, we need to give God our what? Give God our heart. If you don't give God your heart, it's kind of like just going through the motions of things. The Scripture says that we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we're going to focus on this today. We're going to talk about the heart. And the heart is a gift for who? It's a gift for God. God wants your heart. He wants your heart in your worship also. I fear that many people have made a profession of faith in the Lord, but their hearts are divided. They have a divided heart. They kind of, and you've probably seen people like this before, they kind of live, they kind of serve the Lord with one foot in the world and one foot in the church house. And that's not good. That's not a good thing. That's a divided heart. God wants you to be wholehearted in your service to Him and in your worship to Him. What's the main thing? He's the main thing. He's the main thing. And that's what this message today has to do with giving God your what? Giving God your heart. I'm going to give you three areas in which we are to give God our heart, and I'm going to give them to you in advance. We need to give God our heart in our worship. Do y'all agree? We need to give God our heart in our worship. We need to give God our hearts in our service, in what we do for Him. See, it's an honor to serve the Lord. Don't you agree? We need to give Him our hearts in our service to Him. And then last of all, and this is really part of worship, but I wanted to focus on it by itself. We need to give God our hearts in our praise. In our praise. So those are the three areas that we really want to focus on today with regard to giving God our hearts. Well, the first one is we need to give God our hearts in our worship. And I want you to turn to John 4. Now, if you can't find things, I'll get there eventually, and you just listen. But if I don't want to lose you looking, and if you can't find the things fast, just remember, I'm going to read it. John chapter 4, we need to give God our hearts in our what? In our worship. And by worship right now, I'm talking about, and what we're doing right now is this is public worship. We come to the meeting today, and we came for the purpose of worship. There's a lot of times that we come to church and we don't worship because our mind's not right. You got to get your mind right. You got to think about what you're getting ready to do. This is not a good illustration, but my old football coach, Don Jennings, we'd load up on the bus to go to a football game. And when we get on there, he didn't allow us to talk. I'd love to talk to somebody on the, especially if it's a long trip you're going on. He wouldn't let you talk. And he'd get on the, here he'd come. Now, we'd carry on until he come. When we seen him coming, that's when we stopped talking. But when he'd get up on that bus, he'd look back there and he'd go, "All right, boys, shut your mouth." Real kind he was. And he said, "Think about what you're getting ready to do." Thought that was pretty cool. He wanted us to think about our position and what we were supposed to be doing and all those kinds of things. I always kind of figured if it was important to think about what you're going to do in a football game, how much more important is it to think about what you're getting ready to do when you come to God's house to worship? There has to be preparation, I believe, to give worship from your heart. Y'all agree? I mean, sometimes what we do with regard to worship, we come in and we go, "All right, hit me with it." But you got to prepare before you come. A lot of times who gets the most out of a service is the one that prepares the most for the service. You get ready for it. You get prepared for it. So public worship, it says here in John, in the Gospel of John chapter 4, 21, Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know that the worship, we know what we worship, for salvation's of the Jews." Now listen to this. "But the hour's coming." And then he says, "Now is when the true worshipers," everybody say true worshipers. Do you want to be a true worshiper? Do you want to be a true worshiper? True worshipers. And here's the qualification to be a true worshiper is you must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In other words, you have to have the combination of both of those. In other words, in spirit means basically from your heart. It's not just an outward thing. It's an inward thing. And the Holy Spirit has to help you do that. When I come to meeting and I get prepared before I come, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Help me, Lord, sing from my heart. Help me, Lord, to be able to listen. I was in a Bible class this morning and heard a great message this morning. But I prayed for him. I prayed for him. You help a speaker by praying for them. In spirit and in what? You got to have the truth. You know, to have true worship, you got to have truth. I'm going to say it one more time. To have true worship, you got to have truth. If you don't got truth, it's not true worship, it's false worship. There's all kinds of false worship. We want to be true worshipers. We want to be true worshipers. So we need to give God our hearts in our worship. And I'm going to tell you what that requires. That requires preparation before you come. I'm just going to be, that requires preparation before you ever get there. One of the things I pray before I come, and I said, "Lord," I'll say this, "Lord, help me, Master. Help me to have my focus on you, open my heart that I would bring a message that's understandable to the people, and help us as a people worship you in spirit and in truth." That's how it must be. For our worship to be accepted, you have to have those two combinations. spirit and in truth. So we prepare before we come. We think about what we're getting. Oh, coach, think about what you're getting ready to do. Think about what you're getting ready to do. Nothing any more important than that. Many people come to church and don't get nothing out of it. And sometimes that ain't my fault. Sometimes that's just because they're not prepared. They're not ready to worship. They're not ready to listen. So before you come, here's what I'm asking you to do. Get yourself ready. Get yourself ready. Ready mentally. Ready spiritually. And that'll help you a lot. You're coming in and you're ready. You're ready to worship. Many times what happens is, and I've noticed, I figure you've probably experienced it. I didn't start getting into it until about halfway through the meeting. About halfway through the meeting, you know, well, yeah, I'm starting to get into it. And you know why it is? If you don't prepare, that's what happens. It takes you a while to get to where you need to be. One of the greatest duties of man is to worship the Lord. And one of the highest privileges of man is to worship the Lord. And we, since this is such a high honor for us to be able to do it, we need to think about what we're getting ready to do before we ever come. Let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Now, like I said, if you can't find it, don't try, reader. But Acts chapter 4, and I want you to watch this. Acts chapter 4 and the verse 31. Now I want you to watch this. How do you get ready for church? Well, if I dare say we spend more time getting ready with what we put on and what we look like than we do to get ready to worship. You see what I'm trying to say? We get ready for church, I get my tie on, hair's all slicked back, you know. We get ourselves all cleaned up. And then we get here and we're still not ready to worship. You got to get ready to do something as important as worship. You got to prepare yourself for it. You got to think of what you're getting ready to do. And one of the ways I get myself ready for worship is I pray. I pray before I come. If Evan's teaching or if whoever's preaching or whatever and it ain't me, one of the things I do is I pray for the person that's delivering the word. That'll help them. That'll make them better. I pray for the Holy Spirit to bless the meeting. I pray for the Holy Spirit to put the world out of my mind so that I can focus on worship. Hey, have you ever been in the church house and then you're sitting there listening, then all of a sudden you're like off in another land. You're just not paying no attention whatsoever. It's certainly not worshiping. The devil tries to disrupt your worship. And he'll do everything in the world to do that. And what we need to do is prepare ourselves before we ever come. You think of what you're getting ready to do. Acts chapter 4. Now I want you to watch this. There's a big thing happened right here. It says, but when they had prayed, I'm sorry, let's move up and get it a little bit deeper. The disciples here are praying. They were big on prayer, especially when you look in the book of Acts. They would draw aside and pray a lot. The disciples prayed a lot. Did Jesus pray a lot? I'm asking. I don't think anybody prayed more than he did. He'd go up on the mountain and pray all night. I have never prayed all night. I'd fall asleep. And the disciples did on occasions. Jesus take him to set up with him. He'd fall asleep. He prayed a long time. He focused on prayer. I mean, if the King of Kings, when he walked in flesh on this body, if he dedicated himself to prayer that much, it must be pretty important. All right. Let's look down at verse 29. In Acts 4, the church is starting to get persecution. And they're going to pray about this thing. Now watch. And now, Lord, behold their threatening. And grant unto your servants that they with all boldness may speak the word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Buddy, they got through praying. That wasn't a very long prayer, was it? Was it very long? Mm-mm. But I tell you where it come from, don't you? It come from the Spirit of God, and it come from the inside out. Verse 31, look what happens. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. I ain't never prayed a shaky place before of you. That's what they did. It says they prayed and the place shook. That means the power of God came down when these disciples prayed. They were serious about what they was doing, and they realized that they would needed God's hand. They were going to be facing persecution and some pretty tough things. So what did they do? They prayed. And the place shook, and they that were assembled were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word how? How did they speak the word, does it say? Boldness. They needed boldness. And you know why they did that? They realized as men, and if God has to give you boldness. Sometimes we as God's people get too timid, and we're afraid what the people's going to say or afraid what people's going to think, you know, and we don't do anything. So they realized that could be a problem, especially back then, because, you know, they would beat you or they would put you in jail or things of that nature. So the boys got together, so the church got together, and you know what they did? They prayed. They prayed. And you know what God gave them? Boldness. And you know what happened when they prayed? Place shook. God shook it. And God can still shake it. He can still do it. All God's people see it. Well, worship requires us to do these kinds of things. We need to prepare ourselves before we ever come to God's house. We need to prepare ourselves before we ever come so that when we come through the door, we're ready. We're ready. That'd make a great big deal of difference in everything if everybody did it. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the meeting. Prepare yourself. In order to have good, solid, from the heart public worship, it requires preparation on your part before you ever come. All God's people say it. Now, if you'll do this, it'll make a difference. It'll be a difference that you can tell in no time. You'll notice a difference if you do it. Number two, we need to give God our hearts in our public worship. That's why we prepare our hearts before we ever come. We've got to prepare our hearts for it. But we also, there's another kind of worship that we have to do. This, what we're doing right now, is public worship. And we have opportunities to do that, I think, four times a week. Count Sunday school, four times a week. Isn't that right? We've got a Bible college also. You can count that too. Opportunities to come and worship and hear God's words taught. Great opportunities, isn't it, for that? So we need public worship, but you know, we also need what? We need private worship. We need to get alone with Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you my happiest times in this whole world. My happiest times in this world is when I'm alone with my Savior. That's my happiest times. There's nothing that I love more than getting alone with Jesus. It strengthens me. It helps me. It takes away my burdens and my cares of life that sometimes you put up with. You got to do your private worship. One of the main men that when I think about private worship, one of the main men that I think about is, just to be honest, is Daniel. Now, the Lord, of course, excelled at it, but in the Old Testament, Daniel did. Daniel, he had a position in the king's court. Not the king of Israel, but he had a position in Babylon, and then Persia took over. Babylon had a position in the Persian court. You know what this man of God did? Let me tell you what kind of man Daniel was. He prayed three times a day. Let me see if I wrote this down for you. Psalm 55:17, you look that up when you go home. The psalm mentions that we're to pray morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. Three times a day. That's how Daniel prayed. Well, you know what? Some of the people that were jealous of Daniel tried to mess him up with regard to the king, and so they had the king pass an edict that you couldn't ask a request of any god save the king. You know what Brother Daniel did when he heard about the proclamation was made? You know what he did? He did the same thing he did the day before, just like the edict hadn't even been made. And he was an official. He was one of the big chiefs in the kingdom. In the Persian kingdom, God had blessed him that much. But three times a day, he would go in and he'd get down on his knees and he would open his sash of his window and he would pray to the God of Israel. He did it. He did it three times a day. Even when it was outlawed, he did the same thing. Because when the state overrides what God's word says, you obey God first. Scripture says we ought to obey God rather than men. That's what he did, buddy. Three times, morning, noon, and night. What did they do to him? They threw him in a lion's den, didn't they? Eventually, they threw him in Daniel in the lion's den. He'd rather be thrown in a lion's den than miss a prayer meeting. Think about it. That's a big deal. That's what he'd do. Get down on his knees and pray. What kind of worship's that? Private worship. This is public worship. Private worship. Let me tell you why things ain't like they used to be. God's people ain't praying. They ain't praying privately. They ain't praying before they come to worship. They ain't asking. You know, the Bible says we have not because we... And there's a lot of things not happening because we ain't asking for it. We need to have two kinds of worship in our life as Christian people. And that first one is public worship. We got to have it. You need to come as often as you can to God's house. I think you should come to all the meetings. I think it'd help everybody. The more you take in, the stronger you get, the more you understand, and the more you'll grow. Scripture says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. How do you grow? You got to eat, don't you? The scriptures is what you eat. It'll help you. So we need public worship, which is what we're doing now. But we need private worship every day. And where we're so blessed is we got our own copy of the Bible. So they didn't have their own copy of the Bible. Brother Daniel prayed three times a day, but he might have had some parchments or something from the scriptures, but he didn't have the whole Bible like we got. I've told you this a billion times over the years, but can you imagine getting to heaven and some of them old saints of God that just have pieces of the scripture? And can you imagine they say, you telling me, Jeff, that you had all 66 books? I imagine you never did. What did you get done? How would you get anything done having the whole Bible in your lap? Beloved, people ain't reading their Bibles. They watching their TV, but they ain't reading their Bible. And churches are reflecting that problem all over. There's no power. Ain't no power in it. Just ain't no power. Holy Ghost power comes from the scriptures. Salvation comes through the scriptures. Knowledge comes from the scriptures. The new birth comes from the scriptures. And God's given the whole book to you. And parents, you need to be exceptionally focused on this thing because you need to teach your children God's word. You can't save your children. You can't. You can't make them saved. Yeah, I'd like to shake them saved or slap them saved, but you can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can convict your child's heart. So you know what you can do, Larry? You give them all the information you can. And then on top of that, you set the example for them to follow. You give them all the information. And then you set the example for them to follow. Now, beloved, that's all you can do. That's all in the world you can do. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. All God's people said. So we give God, we need to give God our hearts in our worship. And that requires preparation before you ever come, so that when you come here, it's just not a show up. It's worship. You can tell the difference when you worshiped and when you haven't. You can tell the difference when you worshiped and when you haven't. So we need to give God our hearts in public and private worship. Number two, we need to give God our hearts in our service. If you're here today and born again, you're on active duty. We're on active duty. You know, the Lord never does. You know, in the Christian army, in serving Jesus, He don't retire you. You got to battle all. You got to be involved all the days of your life. And I'm glad of that. I want to serve Him all my days. My buddy up in the mountains, Dana Stoniker, you remember that old man y'all brought down to church here at the, I love that old man. He sits with me up there. Every time me and him sit together and carry on, it's what we do. And he's 88. He's 88. And he's still pastoring. He's pastored almost 65 years, I think it was. It's unbelievable how long he's pastored. And he can still preach. Oh, I hate to preach behind him. It's like going behind Daniel or Peter or Paul or somebody like that. I hate to preach behind him. He can still preach. And me and him always sat together. He's still serving the Lord. He has trouble walking now and things, and he keeps right on going. He'll straighten his stuff up, and he'll go in that pulpit. And he keeps doing what? He keeps right on serving Jesus. Been doing it all this time. Been doing it all this time. I want to serve Him well. I want to serve Him well. Let me say it one more time. I want to serve Him well. I want to serve Him all my days. I don't ever want to quit. I want to serve Him all my days till all the air is left out of my system. I want to serve Him. My greatest joy of this life is serving Jesus. I like that more than anything else. And we serve Him publicly and privately, as we already said. I wrote this down for you so you wouldn't have to turn to it, but Colossians 3:23, if you want to know where it's at. It says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily. As to the Lord and not to men. Do it heartily. Put some heart into it. Not just going through the motions, but whatever you do it heartily. You put a little something into it. One of these days, God's people will give a reckoning for what they've done with the time they spent here on this earth. Y'all know it? Turn to Romans 14. Y'all with me this morning? Sounds like a Morgan here today. Romans 14. Sometimes that's because people's listening real hard. Sometimes that's a good thing. Y'all think? People listen real hard, they don't, you know. I've seen that happen a bunch. Romans 14. Verse 11, it says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That's everybody. Even that old lost heathen that don't want nothing to do with the Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. That atheist, Madam O'Hara, who caused so much ruckus, they still ain't found her body, have they? Still don't even know what happened to her. She'll strike a knee one of the day for the Lord. They denied His existence, and she'll answer for that one of these days, one of these days. She knows better now, don't she? She knows better now. Done a lot of damage to people through the things that she said and did. For as it is written, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So then, now I want you to hear this, beloved. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. People always talking about somebody else's service. That irritates me to death. What about you? What about you? You're accountable for yourself. One of these days, you'll give a reckoning to Almighty God with what you did with what he gave you, the time he gave you, the talent he gave you. And you know what the Lord expects of us? He expects us to be faithful in our service to him. Because we'll be able to give a reckoning to him for what we did with what he gave us. All God's people said. I believe it. Y'all believe it? I believe it. I do. Let's turn to Matthew 25. I'm going to preach this morning, brother. I don't care how long it takes. Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. We need to give God our hearts in our worship, and we need to give God our hearts in our service to him, what we do for him. Put a lot into it, you know. Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 19. I'm not going to go real long on this one, but this is the parable of the talents. And a talent was a measure of goods or money. And you have a picture of three servants, and they go out, and the householder gives them what they need to have and gives them different amounts of talents or money to go and carry on the master's business with it. Okay, that's what the parable of talents is all about. Now, I'm just going to move down to verse 21. Verse 20. And so that he received five talents and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered me five talents. Behold, I have gained five talents more. You look back up in verse 17, you had one that received two talents, and that one gained two talents more. Two talents more, and then five talents more. Now, you know what the householder said? Do you know what the ruler said to these two servants that gained? Y'all remember? Do y'all remember what he said? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what God expects of every one of his people. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well, these were the good servants. You can read more into that home, because I'd preached on them if I'd went down through it. There's one other servant that's mentioned in this text. This fella scares me here. Watch now. Verse 24, then he which received the one talent, this servant received how many talents? One. It's money. He was to take that and serve. He was to take what his master gave him and use it. Are you ready? He which received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He didn't do nothing. His servant didn't do anything. And he blamed his laziness on the king. Oh, look what the Lord calls this man, thou wicked and slothful servant. He called him wicked and lazy servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I've sowed and I've gathered where I've not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming you would receive interest. Take therefore the talent from him that gave it to him which hath 10 talents, for every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he thinks he hath. Are you ready for this? The first two servants took what their master gave him and put it to work. And they gained. In other words, what they did all their days is they served the Lord, Eddie. That's what they did. That's what it's showing you. One didn't gain as many talents as the other, but both servants were called faithful because they took what God gave them. They took what God gave them, and they used it, and they worked with it, and they gained from it. I want you to listen about what God says to this unprofitable servant. Take him away and take what he has and give it to the one that had the most talents, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, one of the things people say a lot of times today, they talk about all these carnal Christians, carnal Christians, carnal Christians. I just think most of those people are lost. When the Holy Spirit changes your heart and saves your soul, He changes your whole world around. Amen. That's right, brother. I know people that's made professions of faith in Jesus and it lasted about a month. It's hard doing people's funerals like that too. You know, they came to your church and they made a profession of faith in Jesus and they lasted about a month and they'd been out of church for 15 years, and then when they die, they go, well, he was saved, wasn't he? He was an unprofitable servant. He never served God all these days. He never come to God's house to worship, never had no desire to read his book, never witnessed anybody, never did anything. That's what an unprofitable servant is. They're lost. That's what the text shows. Ain't going to make it. And there's a lot of people in churches just like that. They never do anything. Don't pray. They don't pray. They don't worship. They don't read their book. They don't seek souls. They don't care about it. Their focus is on everything else but Jesus. Their focus is on everything else but Jesus. And I'm telling you, when you're born again and you're truly born again, it's going to change your life forever. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm just saying you're going to be changed. And your old things pass away, beloved. All things becomes new when you're born again. And when it don't, and you see somebody like that, something wrong. I say, well, I got saved when I was 8, Jeff. Some people get saved when they're 8. But if you got saved when you're 8 and now you're 48 and you ain't served the Lord for 40 years, I'd say you're lost. Yeah, I'm just telling you, I'm going by the parable of the talent. I'd say something wrong there. Because I'm telling you, when you're born again, it's going to change your life forever. We need to give God our hearts in our service, in our worship, and in our praise. And I'll close with it. Psalms chapter 69. And this is the last of it. Psalm 69. We need to give God our hearts in our praise. There's two kinds of praise. You praise Him publicly in singing. You praise Him by giving Him thanks too, right? Y'all agree? There's our two ways you praise Him. I want you to listen to Psalm 69. I like this real well. It says, I'll praise the name of God with a song. I didn't say singing, did I? It's part of church service, but you praise Him with a song. You know God loves to hear singing. At the hall, the psalms are singing. 150 psalms, that's singing. He likes singing. But He don't like singing unless it's from your heart. It has to be from the heart. Yeah, think about what you're singing about. He likes it when you sing from your heart. I love to be leading the meeting sometimes, and Caleb, be leading the meeting sometimes, and you look back there and see tears running down somebody's face because the song touches their heart. Have a little heart in the singing, you know. A little heart in the singing. There ain't nothing wrong with a man or a woman or boy or girl crying because they're blessed from the song that somebody sings. I think we dried up too much in a lot of ways. I do. We just get all dried up. Sometimes we have to praise him with some wet, good wet tears sometimes. I do it. You know, I do it. I get worked up sometimes. Now, I'm not talking about when I'm preaching, you know. I do that too. But I just get alone with Jesus, and I think about what all he's done for me and how he made me alive and saved me and give me eternal life, and I got forever looking forward to. I got victory over death. I think about all these things, and it tears me up. I love him so. And he deserves our best, not the leftovers of life. He does. All right, let me finish. I will praise him. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall do what? What does it say it'll do? Look at it. This will please the Lord. You want to please him? Then praise the name of God with a song. And magnify him with thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord. It's going to not make sense to you, but it said, better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The ox and the bullock was two of the most expensive sacrifices you could offer. That's why that's here. But when you praise him with song and magnify him with thanksgiving, God looks at that as greater than the most expensive sacrifice you could offer. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Let's all stand.